Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
From the lakefront to the riverfront, this is where Wisconsin sports fans come to talk. The Bill Michaels Show. Now, here's your host, Bill Michaels.
Good day to you. Welcome. Bill Michaels Show is on the air. We are glad to have you today. Thanks, as always, for taking a listen to us. We certainly appreciate it. We've talked a lot of different stuff today. We talked to some NFL, some D3 football. We talked some baseball and did some fantasy football. Now it's time to talk some Bucks basketball. Joining us now on the Schneider Orange Hotline, head coach of the Milwaukee Bucks, making a return visit to the program. Jason Kidd is now with us. Coach, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How's everything going, Bill?
We're doing well. Always optimistic at the beginning of the season. I was just mentioning this, a couple of things that I wanted to ask you before you came on. And one of the things, I think expectations are top four, get through the first round of the playoffs, and continue to grow as a team. What are your expectations this year?
Well, I think those are all great expectations. But I think for us, you know, just understand we're still young. We're trying to go through the experiences of last year, having the opportunity to play Toronto in that first round, and learning from our mistakes and getting better internally as a team. And that's our first and only thing that we're thinking about right now is how do we get better as a team? And right now our habits, playing hard and passing the ball, and those are the things that we're really concentrating on this preseason.
The death of the father of Giannis Antetokounmpo obviously hit him very hard. And I guess my question to you is, every player deals with something like that different. As a coach, what do you do and how do you handle that?
Well, I think just from past experience, being able to share that with Giannis, losing my father around the same age, just trying to help him. But just understanding Giannis is a special individual, and he has a beautiful family. They're very close. And, again, everybody handles it differently, and I think up to this point, Giannis and his family is handling it, you know, of the loss of Charles. Whenever you lose someone important, it always hurts. But as a young man, I think Giannis is grown and can, you know, get through this, and we're going to help him do that.
Players deal with that differently. I guess my question to you would be, how has Giannis dealt with it, do you think?
I think he's dealt with it incredibly well, only being 22. I think some of his life experiences can help him through this. And, again, whenever you lose someone special like a parent, it's tough. And you're going to have good days and you're going to have bad days.
For as much as we talk about the guys on the court, the guy that isn't right now, Jabari, how is his health and how is he progressing?
He's doing great. Again, this is someone who's been through this injury before, and he's playing a little one-on-one right now. Again, we don't expect him back until February, but he's working extremely hard and he looks good.
I think one of the biggest things that I'm looking for coming into this season is the progression of Thon. Thon Maker really impressed me last year. I had a buddy of mine that saw him in the rookie league and the summer league the year he was drafted and said, that guy's got a lot of raw talent. He can be a player if he kind of hones those skills. How has he progressed in your eyes?
Yeah, I think, again, for Thon, being a rookie last year and going through the experience, having the opportunity to start and then also participating in the playoffs, giving him that experience can only help him. And I think, again, if he can stay healthy, and he's only going to get better the more time he's on the floor.
Then you've got a guy like Malcolm Brogdon. I'm really interested because people always want to put a ceiling on a particular player. I don't know what his ceiling is. Do you have a kind of an expectation for Malcolm and his progression this year?
Yeah, I think, being a point guard and being able to be a leader and run the show, you know, I think having that, you know, being his second year, you know, we got to raise the bar. Understanding what he did last year was special as a rookie, but he's got to, be able to help guys in different positions and put guys in a position to be successful.
In your head, do you have the rotation that you want, or is that something that's a feeling out process through the first, say, you know, 10, 15 games of the season all the way through preseason?
No, well, the rotation, that will be kind of defined after Friday. Trying to use the preseason to put guys in different positions and get a lot of these guys that we're looking at minutes so we can make a decision on the 15th spot. But also, you know, being able to get in practice and see different combinations. And so I would, you know, the rotation will be kind of solid here once Sunday comes.
Talking with Bucks head coach Jason Kidd, joining us for a couple of minutes on the Schneider Orange Hotline. How has Rashad Vaughn progressed? Because I know he's seen more than a few minutes in the preseason. He's played pretty well early on. How has he progressed?
Yeah, I think, again, you talk about Vaughn. Was drafted at 18, and is, now, you know, he's still the youngest on the team at the age of 21, I think, or it might be Thon is 20. But, again, 3 years in the league, and he's working extremely hard in this past summer, and then also he's having a great camp. So I think, you know, for Vaughn, he's improving, and he's starting to show that he deserves minutes.
For as much as we hear rumors, I'm sure the guys inside that locker room hear rumors. You talk about John Henson and Toledovich and the contracts and the possibility of trades and such. When guys don't get traded, Coach, how do they handle that? Or do you have to go in and kind of reassure guys or massage egos? I mean, how tough is that for a guy that hears he might be gone but isn't, and then you have to go in and deal with that?
No, it's a part of the business. There's always rumors about different people being traded, contract extensions. So you have to be a pro, and as long as you shoot straight with the players and let them know where they stand, there's really no need to go in and massage anything. You know, you can't do anything about the rumors. You can only be honest with the players, and if there was a trade to take place, you know, that's just part of the business.
DJ Wilson, give us the update on DJ since he's come into the team.
Well, he's a rookie. He's going to make mistakes. he's doing fine. Him and Sterling Brown, both rookies, going to make mistakes. At this level early, but the more minutes they get, the better off they will be as the year goes on. But both kids are extremely bright, play extremely hard, and again, we're lucky to have them.
We keep talking and keep hearing about, you know, shooting guard, more points. Where are you going to get the points from? You're going to have to make it up in different areas, obviously. Is Chris Middleton the guy that's capable of doing 18 to 22 points a night?
Yeah, you know, I think for Chris, he's a guy who can improve. Giannis is going to improve. You look at Moose, he can improve his score, Tony. So, you know, Malcolm, we got internally, I think we can make up points. I think for us, it's can we be consistent on the defensive end and can we finish plays by rebounding the ball? And I think if we can do that, I think everybody will improve on the offensive end.
I've always said defense in basketball has got to come from the heart because it's not, you know, chicks don't dig the cutoff at the baseline. You know what I mean? They always dig the three-pointer. So how do you get guys to buy in with a heart to say, this? Not only do I have to play good defense, but we got to lock it down as a team? Because that's been what you've preached since you got here.
Yeah, I think it's about winning. It's about being able to sacrifice. It's not just one guy playing defense, but team defense. And when you look around the league, those are the teams that win championships. And so that's where we, you know, hopefully can be one day, you know, being that team defense where it puts us in a position to win a championship.
You guys brought in quite a few free agents trying to find that 15th guy. How has, you know, because you had to take a look at a lot of different players, how has that changed your approach this preseason?
Well, it's making sure the guys, you know, the rotation guys, get their minutes and also get their work. And a lot of times it might not be in the in preseason games, especially we only have four of them this year. So making sure guys got their work done, trying to make, you know, take guys out of their comfort zone during training camp and see how they respond. And again, you know, we're looking at a lot of different bodies, but again, I think at the end of the day, that 15th guy is going to be important to us.
When you go through the rest of the East, and people want to knock the East all the time and say, look, it's LeBron's East and everybody else is just trailing for second. I don't want to say who's your direct competition, but how strong is the East in your opinion?
Well, I think the East is, you know, still strong. You got quite a few teams that have improved, and they're going to, you know, teams are going to play hard. These are professionals that, you know, are fighting for something. And so no matter who we're playing, we don't have the luxury of taking anybody lightly. So With that being said, you know, the East is tough. You look at Boston, has gotten better. Cleveland, with LeBron, is going to be good. Washington, you know, so, you know, we have our work cut out. We're not just going to be able to be in the fourth seed. We got to earn it. And there's other teams out there that believe that they can, you know, get that fourth seed or higher too.
You played in the day with a lot of stars, and there's still all stars in the league, but is the league littered with stars more now or back when you played? I don't know whether I'm just living in this fantasy world from the past in the good old days, so to speak, but was the league itself top to bottom star-wise stronger per team, or because these teams in today's day and age have gathered stars under one umbrella, it's changed the league? I'm trying to figure out the real level of superstardom in the National Basketball Association right now.
I think there's a lot of stars. There's a lot of, probably in today's game, a lot of younger stars in the game than in the past. There's always been the older stars who have been in the league for some time. But now I think you have a lot of younger stars who are playing at a very high level and making the game look easy.
Coach, always a pleasure to chat with you, man. I appreciate you coming on for a couple of minutes and hanging out with us. Best of luck to you on the season. We'll talk again down the road, okay?
I appreciate it, Bill. Thank you.
All right, pal. Talk to you later. There you go. Head coach of the Milwaukee Bucks, Jason Kidd, joining us for a couple of minutes on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider, hiring drivers right now. You work hard, they treat you fair. 80-plus years they've been getting it done. Call them 844-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com. This portion of the program brought to you by Marshfield Clinic Health System, and they're the ones that fixed me back up, got me back in the game. I still have a little bit of a cough, but beyond that, man, I've been sleeping at night and finally feeling better and got rid of the crud, and it took a little time, but man, I feel so much better thanks to calling Care My Way. That's 844-CARE-WAY. If you have something similar going on, call 844-CARE-WAY, and maybe the nurse practitioner can get you a prescription right over the phone, have it sent to your pharmacy, and you can start feeling better real soon as well. If not, go to marshfieldclinic.org and see all that they have to offer. That's marshfieldclinic.org, the official healthcare provider of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Good stuff with Jason Kidd. Was there anything there that you would have asked, Joe, that you thought about? Because like, you're kind of the Bucksaholic, but I'm telling you, there's a lot of optimism. And, you know, like he said, it was a cautionary tale when I asked him. I said, hey, top four, get through the first round of the playoffs. And the one thing he said right away is, don't forget we're young. We're young. Don't forget we're young. And we've seen it happen before where teams that are young take that step forward. You get a lot of energy. You get a lot of enthusiasm. Ticket sales start to go up. There's expectations. And then you take that step back. And then you finally get ready to run. So if they don't run this year, there's going to be a lot of disappointment. But I think all signs point towards that new arena, not this season, but next season when they enter to the new the new Bucks Arena. It's not going to be called the Bradley Center, but the new Bucks Arena. So no doubt about it. It's a lot of anticipation for that season and to see what they can do this year. Let's do this. When we come back, we're going to hear from Mike McCarthy, who went to the podium a little bit earlier today as well, from one head coach to the next. Mike McCarthy up next on the Bill Michaels Show.
Wisconsin-wide, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network, presented by Marshfield Clinic Health System.
Michael Show on the air. We are glad to have you. Hopefully you're having a fantastic day today. This portion of the program being brought to you by Bud Light. If you didn't know, tonight, come on out, join us. Going to be out at Moe's Irish Pub in Wauwatosa. 6 to 8, it's going to be yours truly, Chuck Freeman from Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. He is going to be joining me tonight. J.P. Cadorn from Spectrum Sports will be there. The Bud Girls are going to be there getting you registered for all kinds of prizes. So come on out tonight. Look forward to seeing you as a face in the crowd 6 to 8 tonight, the Bill Michaels Huddle. And if you don't get out there, check out many of these same stations as we're going to be on the air. Again, from the same time, 6 to 8. It's all brought to you by Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Andrew Kramer, the Vikings beat writer for the Star Tribune, joined us a little bit earlier and started talking about this matchup between the Packers and the Minnesota Vikings. And, you know, I mean, the Vikings have had some problems on offense. They've got quarterbacks issues because Sam Bradford's been banged up. We started right there. Let's talk about those injuries.
Yeah, the big one is obviously with Sam Bradford dealing with that knee injury. He just did not look good at all on Monday night in Chicago. And that was after a month off. And so for him to come back after a month off and re-aggravate that knee injury, which the Vikings are only saying is wear and tear in his knee joint, I mean, that could be a cartilage issue, arthritis, who knows. But it's an issue that isn't going away for Sam quickly, and I can't imagine he turns around and plays right away on a short week against the Packers. And so Case Keenum took all the first-team reps for the Vikings yesterday. We'll see later today if he does the same. But Stephon Diggs, however, I do expect him to play. He said after practice yesterday, he was out there watching it. He said, I'll be out there. But I think that's kind of been a point for him, is that he's been, when he's on the field, he's really good, but he's been banged up. He's missed four or five games each season. So he's trying to put together 16 games, and he vowed to be out there on Sunday.
In Case Keenum's defense, he's looked pretty good. I mean, if you go back a couple of weeks ago, obviously he had almost a perfect quarterback rating through three quarters. So is it that dramatic a drop-off if Sam Bradford is not under center?
Well, I think it is, only because Sam Bradford is the more talented quarterback. I mean, there's a big reason why he went number one overall and why he keeps getting these chances from teams, is because people believe that he can be that franchise starter. And he looked like it out there on Monday night against the Saints in week one. And of course, it's the epitome of his career that he goes out and puts that kind of performance out there, 143 quarterback rating, and boosts the Vikings to 1-0. And then, of course, an injury undercuts him to that same knee that he's had two ACL surgeries on in his past career so far. So, and Sam Bradford's not even 30 years old yet, but he's got the stronger arm. He's more accurate. He's more comfortable in the offense. You are seeing Case Keenum grow much more comfortable with what he's being asked to do, and credit the Vikings coaching staff for adapting some of the things they're doing to fit Case Keenum. Case Keenum's a much more mobile guy, and they're taking advantage of that. They're moving the pockets much more with Case, and they're getting him away from some of the pressures, and you're seeing Case kind of flourish with that. So you're right. Case has looked pretty good, but the thing is, they still started a division game with Case against the Detroit Lions, and they lost 14-7. So the issue is still the offense in that game.
Looking at the Vikings, obviously losing the running back early on to an ACL injury a couple of weeks ago, which extremely hurts. This team right now, where does it stand offensively, and what capability do they have?
Yeah, that Dalvin Cook injury really hurt them. I mean, that was one where you were already dealing with the injury to Sam Bradford, and after all the injuries this team had on offense last year, for them to lose Dalvin Cook, especially with how good he looked. He was second in the NFL entering that Sunday in rushing before he tore that ACL against the Lions. And he had 66 yards up to that point. I think it was in the third quarter when he went down. And, man, to lose him, he was so critical, not only to the success of their running game, but too, with the play action that they tried to build off of that. The reason why Stephon Diggs and Adam Thielen had such a great start was in part because Dalvin Cook was drawing so much attention. Teams were really focused on stopping that run game because they knew how much the Vikings wanted to build off of that. And so to lose him, it's tough. And so moving forward, you saw Jerick McKinnon have a pretty decent night in Chicago, but I think you're going to see a committee. I think you're going to see more of a timeshare 50-50 split between him and Latavius Murray.
How much is Laquon Treadwell, last year's first-round draft pick for the Vikings, how much has he added to that offense?
Not much. I mean, he had a good block on Jerick McKinnon's 58-yard touchdown run, but that's not what you expect out of a first-round wide receiver. You expect him to come in there and be a primary target. I think part of it does have to do with the fact that Adam Thielen has emerged so well as a number two receiver to Stephon Diggs, so that takes up a lot of the targets. They have a lot of trust in Kyle Rudolph, the tight end, there as well, but he's just not getting looks. And sometimes he's open and he's not getting the ball. Sometimes he's just not creating separation in the same way that Stephon Diggs and Adam Thielen consistently do. So he's just kind of getting lost in the offense. And now with Michael Floyd, the veteran, coming back, he made his debut Monday night for the Vikings. I just have a hard time seeing how Laquon's going to carve out a big niche in this offense.
Defensively speaking, now this offense of the Green Bay Packers, as you look at it, you know, if they found themselves a running back in Aaron Jones and Jordy Nelson, who practiced yesterday, able to come back, and they've got a full complement of wide receivers, and if David Bakhtiari comes back, this thing's expected to be firing on all cylinders. What do you think they do to try to slow this thing down?
Yeah, I think the one difference from these recent Mike Zimmer defenses versus Aaron Rodgers, the difference this year is that they're using Xavier Rhodes, who I think is playing his best ball. I think Xavier Rhodes, who just got paid, he is not resting on those laurels at all. This guy is one of the NFL's best corners. He's gone up against some of the top receivers, guys like Antonio Brown, Mike Evans, to pretty pedestrian games this season already. So I think they're going to put him on Jordy Nelson, and then you're going to see Xavier follow those guys into the slot as well, which he has not done in the past. That's the big difference. And I think when you look back at that game at Lambeau, Jordy Nelson did a lot of his damage. I think he had 150 yards and two touchdowns, and a lot of that came out of the slot, where before Xavier Rhodes was not going into. So I think you're going to see the Packers have a hard time getting Jordy away from him. But I do know that Jordy Nelson is not even their leading receiver right now over there. So,
Well, we saw what Devontae Adams obviously can do. Randall Cobb has got quite a few catches coming out of the slot. You know, again, how much of this dynamic of this offense coming in, I guess, with Aaron Rodgers having kind of an almost MVP season, people are already talking about him winning an MVP if he continues up this kind of torrid pace. We have seen Zimmer been able to shut him down before. Is it just as a matter of putting a lot of pressure on Aaron Rodgers and getting him off of mark because we know that he can run? Or is it more so keep him in the pocket but get those coverage sacks from downfield?
Yeah, let's keep him in the pocket. That's what they want to do because they know once Aaron Rodgers gets out of the pocket, that's when the coverage starts to break down. That's when receivers see it, they improvise, and the defensive backs often have their back turned. So the Vikings' focus is very much trying to rush him properly, close the lanes for him to escape, and then collapse the pocket on top of him. Now, what they've got is probably two of the best defensive ends in football with Everson Griffin and Danielle Hunter. They've got the edge pressure. Now, I want to see if they're able to get that push up the middle of the pocket, which has been kind of struggling for them this year. But, yeah, the focus very much is trying to keep Aaron Rodgers contained, play coverage well enough for those first 4 or 5 seconds, hopefully, to allow your pass rushers to get there. And that's kind of been Mike Zimmer's key on Aaron Rodgers throughout his career against him.
Talking with Andrew Kramer, the Vikings beat writer for the Star Tribune. Last year, the Vikings' offensive line was just decimated. Their tackles, they were losing tackles like crazy. Packers kind of going through that this year. And this team in the offseason fortified that. How much better has that offensive line been?
It has been much better. And that's actually been one of the pleasant surprises. And a big key is that they played about 99% of the snaps together. Now, at this point, they'd already lost, like you said, two of their starting tackles by week five. So for this point, moving forward for the Vikings, they've got the continuity there. They've got basically a new starter at every spot. They've got 4 new starters, and then they moved their 5th starter to a different position. So 5 new guys playing new positions for them this year. And they've actually played fairly well. And you've seen, even with a backup in Case Keenum going in there, he screwed up some protection calls at times. There's going to be understandable hiccups with the offense, and they've still been able to protect him fairly well. I think they've only given up 9 sacks this year. That's among the fewest in the league. And they're still opening holes in the run game. That big burst that Jerick McKinnon had, he was barely touched on that 58-yard touchdown run. So they're playing well together. And I think a big part of that is the play of the 2 tackles, Riley Reiff and Mike Remmers. Those 2 guys were much maligned, I think, in Detroit and in Carolina where they came from. And they've kind of helped reinvigorate their careers so far here in Minnesota.
With the offensive line playing better and the fact that they've been able to run the football, what has it been about the offense that has caused it at times to be stagnant? I mean, if you just look at the run, or not the run, but the point differential, they're only +6 with a 3-2 record at this point. What has been the nemesis of this team?
I think it's just been the consistency and them not really understanding at times what they've got and what they can do, because a few of the games, especially the Detroit game, they lose Dalvin Cook in the 3rd quarter. At the time they were driving, I think it was like a 10-yard gain that Dalvin tore his ACL on, and they really didn't necessarily know how to move forward with that. The Latavius Murray would gain 3 yards at a time, then they'd throw Jerick in there, and the plan just kind of went awry, and then the game was kind of pushed on the Case Keenum shoulders. And as good as Case Keenum has looked in games, he was great against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He was pretty good in the second half Monday night in Chicago. There's a reason why he's never been signed to be a starter, and he only got a 1-year contract for $2 million this offseason because he's got his limitations. He doesn't have the strongest arm. He can get spooked and panic at times and make mistakes. And so I think in general you're seeing this offense just be inconsistent. They've got too many penalties on the offensive side of the football. I think it was in that Detroit game, the average 3rd down was like 3rd down and 10. You just can't win that way. So I think in general you'll see bursts from this offense, whether it's Stephon Diggs, when Dalvin Cook was in there. You'll see some big plays, but they just haven't been consistent enough to get into the end zone. So they don't have a turnover problem. You'll see some big plays, but you're just still looking for that consistency that you often see from the defense.
Hey, real quick before I let you go, the Packers defensively coming in, they are ranked 20th in scoring. They haven't necessarily played great. They're hoping to get into the top 15, top 12 overall by the time the season's done. So at this point in time, is the Packers defense, is that a defense in which opponents outside looking in fear?
I don't necessarily think that the Vikings look at the Packers and fear that defense, though there are certain players that have dominated them throughout. I know Clay Matthews obviously has a good history against them. Mike Daniels actually has put together a lot of good games against the Vikings lately, against some bad offensive lines, obviously. So I think the Packers front does strike some fear into them a little bit just because of the games they put together before. But I think they see a banged up secondary and think, hey, we've got two pretty good receivers here that could take advantage of that. So I think it's a little bit of a mixed bag, much like how this Vikings offense is.
There you have it. And that was our good buddy from up at the, I should say, Andrew Kramer from the Star Tribune. The Vikings beat writer up in Minneapolis, Minnesota, joining us for a couple of minutes on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider, hiring drivers right now. You work hard. They treat you fair for 80-plus years. They've been getting it done. Call them 844-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com. Don't forget, you got the Badgers coming up this weekend. And as far as the Badgers go and Papa John's, when the Badgers play, you win at Papa John's. Get 50% off all regular menu price pizzas online every Badgers football game day. Order online at papajohns.com and use the promo code BADGERS50. That is BADGERS50. They'll be doing that for the Bucs season again this year, coming up as well. Final segment of the Bill Michaels Show, coming up next.
Everywhere in Wisconsin, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network, presented by Marshfield Clinic Health System.
Michael's show is on the air. We are glad to have you. Hopefully you're having a fantastic day today. A couple of minutes before we have to get out of here. Coming up on the show tomorrow, remember the name Brian Brohm? Former Packer quarterback. He is now down at Purdue University. His brother is the head coach down there, so he's working as his assistant down there. He'll join us tomorrow. Monty Ball, former Badger running back. He's going to be here. James Jones, the former Packers wide receiver who we just had on the Horse and Plow Huddle about a month ago. He's going to be joining us. And then our usual cast of characters, Eric Baranchek, Paul Imig, Mike Clemens. We got a full show tomorrow. We're packed tomorrow. Packed tomorrow. Here's something for you. And we can talk a little bit about this tomorrow as well. Sunday Night Football, NBC Sunday Night Football, just posted this a little while ago on Facebook. And it said, right now, who would you feel is, to this point in the season, the MVP through 5 weeks? Is it Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, or Alex Smith? Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, or Alex Smith? When you look at quarterback rating overall, Alex Smith, believe it or not, leads the board at 125.8. Tom Brady at 112, and then Aaron Rodgers at 104. As far as passing touchdowns go, Aaron Rodgers leads everybody. 13 touchdowns, only 3 picks. Tom Brady, 11 touchdowns, 1 pick on the season. Alex Smith, 11 touchdowns, 0 picks on the season. Has yet to throw an interception. But when you look at the numbers when it comes to completion percentage, Alex Smith is a whopping 76.6%. Now, granted, a lot of that is quick outs, but they've been successful in doing it. Tom Brady, 68.2. Aaron Rodgers, 66.7. When it comes to the completion percentage. Then you get into the yards per game. Brady leads everybody at 340 yards per game. Alex Smith at 278.2. Aaron Rodgers, 7th. At 273.4. A lot of good questions, but who would your, to this point in the season, MVP be? That's posted by NBC's Monday Night Football, or Sunday Night Football. And that's their question over on Facebook. But it's, we're going to talk a little bit more about that tomorrow, because I think it's a very interesting question as you start to watch MVP chase throughout the remainder of this season. So we'll get into that discussion a little bit tomorrow. We got a lot to talk about. Brian Brohm, Monty Ball, James Jones, Eric Baranchek, Paul Imig, Mike Clemens, everybody coming on tomorrow. Good stuff. Hey, if you are in the Milwaukee area, we talked a little bit about this, and not that I'm going to go into detail on it, but I had talked about a lawsuit involving one of the former Green Bay Packers, Santana Dotson, a while ago, and it just kind of faded. And it's something that I worked on for a long time, and I had a personal interest in. And I talked about charities and such, and so I posted some information on the Facebook fan page today of some of the final numbers and all of this thing as that lawsuit was, kind of settled. But there's more to it than that. And as much as I wanted to be the investigative reporter and get deep into it, I just had all the information. But I believe tonight, a couple of friends of mine got to me and said, hey, this is going to air tonight on TMJ4 in Milwaukee. So somewhere in the nightly news. I don't know if it's going to be at 4, 5, or 6, or even at 10, but pay attention tonight, because it's one of those things that has kind of sat near and dear to the heart for a while, and I just encourage you to watch it. And this, obviously, upon the very public humiliation of the OWI that Santana Dotson just got the other night. That made the news. It was on Fox 6 and Channel 2. I didn't even know about it. It was brought to my attention via Facebook. But that's just kind of the tip of the iceberg of things that are going on right there. So we can talk about it more once the information's out there. We'll get more into that as well. But just wanted to make you aware of it. I encourage you to pay attention to it. I encourage you to pay attention to it. And then you'll find out more as to why I'm involved, or at least why I have a passion for it. As time goes on. So anyway, that being said, time for us to get out of here. Hope to see you tonight. We're going to be at Moe's Irish Pub in Wauwatosa on the corner of Highway 100 and Blue Mound Road. Stop by 6 to 8 tonight. We'll be back on the air with J.P. Cadoran from Spectrum Sports, also from Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan in Milwaukee. And the morning show, Chuck Freeman's going to be there. The Bud Girls are going to be there. Hope to see you out there. Until then, have a good one. See you.
Is the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network, presented by Marshfield Clinic Health System.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.